Introducing truthaboutbackpain.com. If you've been suffering back pain for a week, a month, a year, or many years, and are completely frustrated by the lack of relief, you've come to the right place. In this recording, you'll listen to me, Dan Buglio, a longtime back pain sufferer, interview Dr. Howard Schubner about TMS. It's a little known but extremely effective diagnosis and treatment program for back pain. It worked for me, and I know it can work for you. Welcome to truthaboutbackpain.com, and thanks for listening in. If you've been suffering with back pain and can't get relief, this could be the most important recording you've ever listened to. I know that's a grand claim, but listening to this recording could be the first step in getting rid of your pain and getting your life back. You're actually listening to a recording of a call between myself and Dr. Howard Schubner, an accomplished doctor from the Detroit, Michigan area who's had a great deal of experience and success in helping people with chronic pain eliminate it once and for all. Now, we're not going to talk about some whiz-bang, high-tech, expensive machines or technology or treatment process, but more importantly, we're going to talk about getting the right diagnosis in the first place. And once you have the correct diagnosis, it gets a lot easier from there. So I would encourage you to get comfortable, perhaps grab a beverage, close the door so you won't be distracted, and listen in with an open mind and be very thoughtful about how the information Dr. Schubner is about to share with us, how that applies to you, your life, and your pain symptoms. And before we dive in, just a real quick disclaimer. This call is being provided for educational purposes only. This recording should not be construed as medical advice. And listening to this call does not establish a patient-doctor relationship between you and Dr. Schubner. And as a layperson who has experience in back pain, I'm sharing my thoughts and opinions based on my own experience. I'm certainly not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV. So, I shouldn't be construed as practicing medicine here. Always seek advice from your own doctor when it comes to your health and well-being. That being said, it's our hope that by educating you about the true cause of many cases of back pain, you can actually use this information to dramatically reduce, if not completely eliminate, your back pain. We hope to help you stop wasting your valuable time and money on unnecessary treatments and devices that provide either no relief or temporary relief at best. So hopefully we can help you get your mobility and some of your life back. As for who you're listening to, my name is Dan Buglio. I'm just a regular guy just like you. I'm not a doctor. I'm just someone who's suffered years of back pain. I discovered the answer and wanted to make sure I helped tell as many people as possible about the only approach to back pain that's worked for me. I've decided the best way to go about it would be to interview a real doctor who's implemented this diagnosis and treatment method into his practice with great success. So who is this program for? Pretty much anybody who's experienced any type of back pain, from mild to wild, uncomfortable to disabling, from once in a while pain to chronic, all the time pain. So if you've tried everything else and nothing's working, this information could likely be the light at the end of your tunnel. And again, the purpose of this call is to explain what's really going on, give you some proof, and finally offer you a roadmap or plan of action that you can begin today to implement to finally get rid of your pain. So I apologize for the long introduction, but I just wanted to get the listener to have a sense of the importance before we dove into the content. I do want to introduce Dr. Howard Schubner. And Howard, why don't you tell me a little bit about your background in medicine and treating these pain syndromes?
Thanks, Dan. That was a great introduction. I am board certified in internal medicine and adolescent medicine and pediatrics. I am a clinical professor at Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan, at the medical school there, and also a faculty in the internal medicine department at Providence Hospital, part of St. John Health System in Southfield, Michigan.
Right.
My background is very broad. I have done a lot of research over the years, done a lot of teaching of medical students and residents, ran a number of programs, and I got into this area of treatment just in the past 4 or 5 years, really by serendipity.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
What happened is my boss's wife had a lot of severe back pain and hip pain. She had had back surgery. She had had hip surgery. She was no better. She was a young woman walking around with a cane and in a lot of pain. And she met a guy who said, you know, you should read this book by Dr. John Sarno, the book Mind-Body Prescription.
Right.
She read that book. She talked to, she's a therapist herself, actually. She talked to a guy who was kind of helping her work through some of the issues that were going on in her life. And in 2 weeks, she was pain-free. And my boss, who's a good friend of mine and a great internal medicine doctor, said to me, he said, Howard, you know, you really need to look at this. This is right up your alley. One of the things that I've done over the last 15 years is I've been a teacher of mindfulness meditation.
Okay.
Mindfulness meditation is a form of meditation which is very helpful in helping people deal with stress and anxiety and worry and fear and things like that. So I've had a background related to the connection between the mind and the body for many years.
Cool. All right. So when did you actually decide to start incorporating this into your practice?
What happened is after he told me that story, I started reading voraciously. I read all of Dr. Sarno's books, and we'll be talking about him. I visited Dr. Sarno in New York, worked with him. I started reading all the research that I could find that related to the connection between the mind and the body, and I just began to realize how important this was and how much of a huge missing link this is in the regular everyday practice of medicine. The vast majority of doctors do not understand that mental events can cause true and real physical pain. And that simple statement, that simple understanding is missing in modern medicine. We call it modern medicine's blind spot.
Okay.
And so I started a program here. I developed a program based on that concept, based on the work that Dr. Sarno has done. And I tried to take it a little bit farther in the sense of incorporating the meditation aspect, incorporating a whole series of therapeutic journaling techniques that I had learned over the years, and put it into a format that is a four-week class format.
Okay. So you've been conducting that live through your practice in the Detroit area?
Correct.
Okay, excellent. And how have your patients received this information? Have you had some pretty life-changing results for some of these folks?
I continue to have to pinch myself. It is totally true. I keep telling people that I have to pinch myself because when I started this, people would come in with chronic back pain for 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, or neck pain or whiplash or fibromyalgia or chronic headaches or stomach pain or TMJ pain, and they would get better within 2 weeks or 4 weeks or maybe a couple months. Not everybody, you know, certainly
right.
No one can claim that everyone is going to have a miraculous cure. But when, you know, the majority of people are getting better after no one else could help them, I mean, that is truly remarkable. And that's what drives people to seek this, because so many people are desperate out there. They've tried virtually everything.
Right.
And at the start, they're skeptical. There is no question. They have to be skeptical. Because the first thing is people need to understand that the pain is real.
Right.
And
yeah.
That
I know my
the,
mom.
Yeah.
My mom definitely says, I'm not imagining this. It's definitely there. And I can attest to it myself as somebody who suffered back pain. It's absolutely real. I've been floored on a hardwood floor for 14 hours with, you know, back spasms, probably the worst pain I've ever felt. So, yeah, clearly this is not imagined pain.
Right.
This is real physical changes to your body.
Right. And functional MRI studies have shown that the pain of chronic back pain, the pain of fibromyalgia is real. You can see it in the brain. You can see what parts of the brain it's affecting. That's the same parts of the brain that's affected when someone has a fracture or an acute injury.
Okay.
Now, one thing we've learned over the last few years is the advances in neuroscience have been tremendous. And one of the areas that's really important for people to understand is the syndrome called phantom limb syndrome.
Okay.
In phantom limb syndrome, there's pain, can be very severe pain and real pain, that is occurring in an area of the body that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's in an area of the body that's already been amputated. And this pain is as real as any other pain, but we understand that there's no disease in that area. So what's causing this pain? In this situation, the pain is caused by sensitized nerve connections that are sending pain signals to the brain, even though the part of the body is already gone. The brain is amplifying those or augmenting those pain signals through a series of connections and through certain parts of the brain that are amplified and activated. And these parts of the brain are continue to be amplified by fear, worry, anger, guilt, anxiety, etc. And then the autonomic nervous system gets activated, which sends more signals back to the body, which creates muscle spasm and creates a vicious cycle of nerve connections. And so just as people with phantom limb syndrome can have pain in an area that's not diseased, people with back pain or headaches or neck pain or fibromyalgia can have pain that's real and severe pain in an area that's not diseased anymore.
Okay, it's physically fine. There's no structural defect, you're saying.
Exactly. And that is a huge revelation to people and a huge revelation to doctors who don't understand this by and large, because modern medicine has been looking for the micro level. They're looking at what's wrong in the area where the pain is, but they're missing the macro level, which is what's going on in the whole body.
Okay. Now, you know, before we dive into a little bit more of Dr. Sarno's theories and his tension myositis syndrome, let's talk a little bit about how big of a deal this actually is. I mean, there's a back pain epidemic going on right now that's so far out of proportion to the amount of disease and trauma that's actually occurring. And it's my belief that, you know, once somebody actually starts having some back pain because of the misdiagnosis up front, the high-level imaging studies that are available these days, and basically being told that you're broken, it really snowballs into, you know, a lot of fear, don't do this, don't do that, you're broken, you'll always have pain, and almost a mind programming to expect it, and that there is no cure because everything they try is temporary at best. So can you talk a little bit about the pain epidemic and, you know, any thoughts in that regard?
Yeah. Yeah, there's two really important points you brought up. Number one is the epidemic. There's more back pain in highly industrialized or technologically advanced countries than there are in rural agrarian countries, which is counterintuitive.
Right. But
there's about 20, somewhere around 25% of adults have back pain. It's a huge number. So we're talking about millions and millions of people. And you know, somewhere in the 10 to 15% have chronic and severe back pain. And this number has not changed in the last about 10 years that they've been doing these studies. So the number of people with chronic back pain is staying the same, and it's at epidemic levels. The results of treatment for back pain have not improved in the last decade. And a study just came out in the Journal of American Medical Association about a month or so ago, which showed that the effectiveness of all the new and highly technological treatments that we've developed over the past decade or so for back pain have not improved the treatment of back pain.
Wow.
The cost of back pain has tripled. The cost of treatment for back pain has tripled. So there's more surgery, more injections, more devices, more implantable devices.
Herbal remedies to medicines to...
Yeah, I mean, there's just tremendous amount, billions and billions of dollars. I think the estimate was something around $80 billion per year spent on chronic back pain treatment
in the United States. Imagine the loss of work and income and productivity.
Correct.
So it's astronomical.
And, yeah. Now, the second point that you brought up, Dan, is what happens when people go to the doctor.
Right.
So there's two basic ways that people develop chronic back pain. One way is after an injury, and the other way is without an injury.
Right.
Let's take the injury one first. When an injury occurs, the nerve signals that have pain, feeling pain, because the injury causes pain, no question about that. Acute injury causes pain. And those nerve signals send signals to the brain. Those nerve fibers send signals to the brain. Creates the pain, it creates edema, swelling, inflammation, etc., tells you to rest, take it easy, take pain medication, anti-inflammatories, etc. Now, those acute injuries usually are going to heal within a week or two or a month or so.
Right.
But when there's added stress, when there's added emotions, when there's added fear, worry, when there's difficulties in our lives, those things augment pain and create the vicious cycle that continues the pain signals even after the acute injury has healed. And so there's so many people walking around that say, I had an injury 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and I still have pain. They don't understand that that injury actually has healed. But
okay.
the pain now is caused by that vicious cycle. Yeah, exactly. My brother's an orthopedic surgeon, and he had a guy come into him with, you know, severe back pain for 5 years. He got hit by a steel beam in the back on a construction site. I mean, that's a horrible injury. But his tests are normal now.
Right.
His exam is normal now. And so, you know, what's the cause of his pain? The guy's going, are you kidding? I got hit by a steel beam. Well, you did, and you had pain at that time. But the pain now is not caused by that injury. The pain now is caused by this vicious cycle of nerve connections. That's a different situation, and it requires a different kind of treatment.
Okay.
Now, other people come in and have not had an injury.
Right.
And so in that situation, you know, the pain is not started by sensitive nerve fibers due to an injury. It's just started because of the connection between the mind and the body. And that's where, again, doctors don't realize that mental events can cause physical pain. When I started my internship, I had diarrhea for 6 months.
Okay.
The cause? Fear. Stress. Starting my internship. I was a new doctor. I thought I was going to kill somebody.
Sure.
And, you know, that diarrhea was real. It's a physical event caused by a mental event. When people have a stressful day, they get a headache. They understand that's physical pain caused by mental events.
Right.
If you get embarrassed, your face turns red. It's a physical event caused by a mental event. And so this is really way more common than most people realize.
Okay. So now what's your take on the quick fix society? Because even people close to me who have seen my results still are running around looking to doctors to fix them. Here, I have this problem. Give me a pill. Give me an injection. Fix me. And how do you see that kind of tying into whether or not somebody's able to accept this diagnosis and do something with it? Are there some people who just aren't going to open their minds enough to make some progress?
Right. There's a couple things that occur there. I think there's two major factors. One factor is, as you alluded to just a couple minutes ago, is what happens when they get tests. So when people have, say, back pain or neck pain, and they get an X-ray or they get a CAT scan or an MRI,
right,
most likely there's going to be some degree of, quote, abnormality on those studies. And the reason is that if you take normal people with no back pain and you give them all MRIs, 65% of them have bulging discs, have facet arthropathy, have degenerative disc disease, and all these findings that are on the picture that you
mm-hmm.
can see on the MRI, but are causing no pain.
Okay.
And so when someone has back pain or has an injury and you get an MRI and it shows those same kind of findings, the doctor is often quick to point out, oh, here's the cause of your pain. And as you pointed out before, that leads people to believe, I've got a bad back. There's something wrong with me. And people are astounded when I show them the research, and this is very well-documented research,
right,
that shows that people without pain have the same findings as people with pain. And so people who have back pain need to be seen by doctors. They need to be seen by physicians who can examine them and make sure that they do not have a neurologic condition, that they don't have a weakness of a leg or weakness of an arm, that they don't have all abnormalities of a reflex, that they don't have numbness, or they don't have, in other words, that they don't have reason to have surgery.
Right.
Now, there's a very small percentage of people with back pain or with neck pain who do need surgery, and that's important to recognize. The vast majority do not need surgery, and the vast majority of people who have back pain cannot be diagnosed by the tests that we now have available. And this is, again, a shocking assertion that's totally true. And, you know, I can show you all the documentation for that. The major back pain experts in the country will confirm that. They can't be diagnosed because the tests that we have, the MRIs, even as great as they are basically inaccurate in diagnosing the cause of the pain.
Okay.
The pictures do not illustrate the cause of the pain. The second problem is that people tend to be afraid or not willing to accept that there could be a, quote, psychological reason for pain.
Right. They don't want to be labeled as crazy.
Exactly. And the most important thing for people to understand is, just as I alluded to, that I have had physical symptoms due to stress. I had severe neck pain after my daughter was born, and the stress of having a baby, having her being awake all night, and having work that I needed to do, and all that came out in my body as neck pain. There's should be no stigma to that, because it's really part of the human condition. The mind and the body are connected.
Right. Okay. Well, let's jump into a little bit about Dr. Sarno, what he calls the tension myositis syndrome, or often referred to as TMS. Let's get a little bit of an idea as to, well, you already alluded to it. Who gets TMS? Almost everybody has something at some point in time. But, you know, is there any type of a guess or estimation from your standpoint and your experience with your patients as to how much of the back pain out there is actually some manifestation of this mind-body connection?
It appears quite clear that the vast majority of chronic back pain, not acute, maybe some of acute, we don't know. It's hard to know about acute back pain. A lot of acute back pain certainly is due to injuries that occur. But if you're talking about chronic back pain, the vast majority, as I said, cannot be diagnosed by modern medicine. And in my experience, the vast majority is due to what Dr. Sarno calls TMS, tension myositis syndrome. I sometimes call it mind-body syndrome, but it's
right.
Basically the same thing. It's the idea that a vicious cycle of nerve connections has developed that has been created by either by an injury initially, and then by a combination of stress and emotions and emotional reactions that are either conscious or subconscious even. When I was saying I had that severe neck pain after my daughter was born, if you asked me consciously, was I stressed? I was going to say, no, well, I'm kind of busy. I'm working and this and that. But subconsciously, there was a tremendous amount of stress because, frankly, I was beginning to resent my daughter for not sleeping at night and resenting my wife for not letting our daughter cry at night so she could sleep better. And so there's
right.
a lot of tension in my mind that was being suppressed. And this is the part where it gets people a little bit, you know, wary. It's like, oh, now you're talking mumbo jumbo, you know. Now you're, you know, into the psychological realm, and that couldn't possibly be real. But
right.
the bottom line is, when you sit down and talk to people and you take a very careful history and you look very closely at their lives, what's going on in their life in the past and what's going on now and what was going on at the time their pain started, you can almost always find that there's something important that's going on there related to some psychological issues that are normal issues. Again, these people are not crazy or anything like that, but normal stresses of daily life that include anger, fear, worry, resentment, guilt, shame, you know, things that just happen to people, you know, as part of living.
Right. Now, I've also studied a lot of Dr. Sarno's books as I've gone through my own experiences with back pain. And he gets very psychological about it, talking about, you know, the inner child and all of that. In your experience in dealing with these syndromes and your patients, do you find that you have to get quite that deep, or is the overall understanding of the process enough?
It sort of depends on the person. What I do when I see patients, you know, live in person, I start with their childhood and I say, what was your mother like? What was your father like? What is your situation now? What's been going on in your life that led to some of these different things? And most people, they may have back pain at age 35 or 45, but maybe they had headaches when they were 15. maybe they had irritable bowel syndrome when they were 25.
Gotcha.
And the point is to look at the whole person and to see how physical events have occurred in their life due to mental events throughout their life. And let me, here an example of, there's a lady who I said is just a wonderful, wonderful person who developed severe back pain, and she had that for 7 years.
Right.
And she went to, she had surgery, she had a laminectomy, she had a rhizotomy, she had epidurals, none of that really helped. She was on morphine when she came to see me.
Wow.
And at the time before her back pain started, two very important things happened in her life. Number one, her son overdosed on drugs and died.
Wow.
And the other was her daughter developed a diagnosis of bipolar disorder and was, you know, on medication. And she got severe back pain. Now, none of her doctors ever asked her about those events because those, how could those possibly be relevant to her pain? But yet, when she came into my program 3 weeks later, her pain was gone.
Okay. So that's that blind spot you're talking about with
yeah.
normal conventional medicine.
Right.
They're only looking at the physical as if you're a car and they're the mechanic.
Right. And her MRI had lots of changes on it. You know, disc bulging, spinal stenosis, facet arthropathy, degenerative joint disease. You know, you have all that. But
right.
that didn't matter because that wasn't the cause of her pain. The cause of her pain was this vicious cycle of nerve connections that we call TMS.
Okay.
Now, and then she got weaned off her morphine, so now she's fine. But let me tell you, 6 months later, she had a recurrence of pain. Now, she's been pain-free for 6 months, and she's walking around her house one day, and all of a sudden, she gets a severe pain in her mid-back. Now, this is a different part of her back, but severe pain. And
right.
she wasn't thinking about anything. She was just walking around her house. She has to lie down on her bed. She's lying down. She has severe pain in her back, and she stops, and she asks herself a question. What's bothering me? And immediately, this thought comes into her mind. Oh, my goodness, my son. Her other son, who's alive, was on a camping trip out of town, and he hadn't called in several days. And she was worried about him. And this was a subconscious thought. She got the pain in response to a thought that she wasn't really aware of until she asked herself, what's going on? And then it came to her. That's what she was worried about. And you can see how worry about her son could create back pain because, of course, she had lost a son.
Wow. Okay.
And so that's how the psychological interplays with the physical.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've experienced personally is that, you know, when you have chronic pain, you become very fearful of it. You become fearful of the next major event that's going to, you know,
yes.
really hurt you. And anything that has caused you pain in the past, so if you sit down on a couch weird and it hurts, sure enough, the next time you sit down on a couch, you're going to be very aware of that and very cautious of it. And what I find is that it's almost as if I've programmed myself to expect pain, and
right.
sure enough, it's there.
Right.
But when I actually think consciously that I'm fine, I'm healthy, I'm strong, it's not going to hurt, and I go take that same exact movement, just that conscious thought of I'm good, I'm okay, the pain doesn't show up. So do you have any experience with that whole fear and expectation aspect of this and how we can break that cycle?
That is a huge, huge part of this. And the people that I see and the people that are doing my online program and write in, so often what they're mainly focused on, of course, as you would normally be, is their pain.
Right.
But what's really driving the pain, we have to, in order to get rid of the pain, we have to find out what causes it. This is just good medicine.
Right.
And when you see what's causing the pain underneath, it is often fear. Fear, anxiety, worry, frustration, anger, guilt, etc. And worry and fear is one of the main things. And in the psychological business, they call it pain catastrophizing. And pain fear. So fear of pain and worry that something is horribly wrong or something is could become horribly wrong if you do something wrong creates muscle tension. And that
right.
muscle tension creates pain. We know, I mean, there's many experiments that have been done with both anxiety and with anger that show when people get angry, their muscles are tense, become tense. and that creates more pain. We also know that people's pain threshold is lowered when they become angry or become anxious.
In other words,
again,
they
those
feel
have
the
been
pain
shown.
More?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
They can tolerate much less pain.
Wow.
When they're in those situations. Again, that's been shown in experimental studies. So everything that I'm saying is completely backed up by science. This is not pseudoscience. This is not new age, you know, wishful thinking or anything like that. It's totally backed up by the science and the brain science that's been developed over the last decade or so.
Okay. And I totally believe that. As far as the doctors, though, I mean, I've even brought this, you know, Dr. Sarno and his books and his mind-body stuff up with my general practitioner, with a chiropractor, with physical therapists. And for whatever reason, none of them seemed open-minded at all. There was all just a half-hearted acceptance. Yeah, stress can definitely play into it, but let's get back to the physical. Let's see what's going on. Why is it that mainstream medicine can't really open themselves up to understand it, research it, and incorporate it into their practice?
I think the reason is, it's a good question, I don't know exactly, but I think the reason has to do with the advances that have come in the last 30 years in modern medicine. The advances
okay.
have been tremendous when you think about cancer treatment, you think about heart disease treatment, stroke treatment, infectious disease treatment. All the great advances we've had in the past 30 years have come about because we're looking at smaller and smaller areas of the body. We're looking with a microscope to try to find the causes at the cellular level. And so for things like back pain and headaches, we're looking for, and fibromyalgia, we're looking for the cure in the peripheral part of the body, the part where the pain is. And it just doesn't work for that.
Okay.
But we're using the same model that we've used that's been successful for cancer and heart disease and infectious diseases. But for this pendulum is going to have to shift back. It's going to have to tilt back toward looking at the whole person and looking at the connection between the mind and the body because, frankly, we're ineffective in treating these conditions without looking at it the way that we are.
I understand. As far as the people listening to this recording and trying to figure out whether or not this is what's going on in their life, is there, number one, are there precautions that you would issue to anybody who's considering TMS as the reason for their pain? I mean, clearly we're not telling people go out and take a 6-mile jog tomorrow, stop all medicines, and you know, we don't want to be extreme with this, but are there any precautions that you would issue to people? And also at the same time, are there any suggested ways of helping people determine whether or not this type of a syndrome is what's going on in their life?
Mm-hmm. The way we think in medicine, we think about ruling things in and ruling things out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to rule out a serious physical condition before you embark on any treatment that is psychological or treatment that is mind-body kind of treatment.
Right.
And so in order to rule out a severe physical condition, as I said before, it's important to get a good neurologic exam. An exam that includes making sure that there's no neurologic damage. There's no change in reflexes, no change in muscle strength, no change in sensation. The imaging, most people with chronic back or neck pain have had imaging studies, have had an MRI. And again, as I mentioned, those can be misleading. But clearly, if someone has a fracture, if someone has a tumor, if someone has an infection, those are physical causes that require medication or surgery.
Okay.
But and this has again been written up in medical journals, if there's no fracture, there's no infection, there's no tumor, most of those remaining, and the neurologic exam is perfectly normal.
Right.
Those people most likely have TMS. So you rule out the physical. Now, how do you rule in TMS? That's the opposite side of the equation.
Right.
What you need to do in that situation is look at your life. You need to begin to review when the pain started, and what other symptoms, as I mentioned before, you might have had throughout your life, and begin to look for patterns. For example, a pattern can be feeling left out. So I had a guy who had, growing up, he had moved from a, you know, kind of a poorer neighborhood to a more middle-class neighborhood. But his clothes weren't as good, and he was overweight, and people teased him, and he felt left out, and he was just trying to fit in to that new school. I mean, this is a common thing that happens to
sure.
so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But that became a factor in his life. And when he was 25, he had moved from one church to a kind of, quote, higher class church. And he was working in that church setting, and he had a panic attack when he was trying to do something to help the church. And then a little bit later in his life, he developed back pain when he was in another situation where he was not being accepted. In this case, this was by a relative of his wife, you know, one of his his mother-in-law, actually, who he was going to her house, and she had never accepted him, was rude to him and mean, and that's when he developed his back pain. So it wasn't a major, you know, psychological problem in that sense, but it was something that he felt that bothered him, that at different times in his life had recurred to cause different symptoms at different times. I mean, it can be something as simple as sibling jealousy. A lot of people that we see also have situations in their early childhood where they were abused, emotionally abused, sexually abused, physically abused, and a lot of times those situations can be somehow recreated in adulthood when they're in situations dealing with people in power who have power over them.
Right.
And that can be a time when back pain, headaches, fibromyalgia, other symptoms can start. So ruling it in by looking at the issues in people's life and connecting the dots, connecting the physical symptoms to the stressors in their life, that's the way to rule it in.
Okay. Now, I know in my study of TMS, and there's a number of doctors and a number of books out there on the topic, Dr. Sarno says that he feels the pain is a distraction to protect you from letting those very intense emotions from bubbling up to the surface. Dr. Brady calls it a nervous system overload. And there are, you know, there's some differing opinions as to what is actually going on. And I guess the question I've got for you is, does any of that really matter? Or are we still back to square one, which is acknowledging that this process is going on regardless of the fine details of what's going on in the system and the mechanics of the subconscious? Does any of that really matter? Or can we still get results by just reflecting more on connecting those dots, as you said, connect the physical dot to the emotional time and stressors in the life? Is that enough, or do we really have to dig deep and understand all the potential psychology and
right.
you know, the technical aspects of TMS?
Some people, there's about, I'd say about 10, maybe even 15% of people with some kinds of chronic TMS-type symptoms that we've been talking about, including irritable bowel, irritable bladder, TMJ, some
mm-hmm.
of the other ones we've talked about. They'll read a book by Dr. Sarno or someone else, and they'll just get better. That's all they need. They just need to understand, mind can cause this. Huh, great. Boom, they get better.
And all of a sudden the fear goes away.
The fear
right.
goes away and the symptoms go away.
Right.
That's great. For some people, they have much deeper issues. Again, a lot of times those people have had deeper issues in their life, maybe abuse situations in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to do it for them. They're going to need more work, sometimes more therapy. And they probably are going to need a much deeper understanding of the issues and what might have caused it in their life.
Okay.
Now, on a physiological level, there's a lot of different theories about, you know, what's going on. Is it oxygen deprivation in the tissues? Is it sensitized nerve fibers, as I tend to think? Is it central augmentation? You know, all those don't really matter so much. That doesn't really matter. The key thing is understanding that Mental events can cause physical symptoms and can perpetuate physical symptoms once they've started.
Okay.
In terms of what's going on psychodynamically, that's an area, as you pointed out, that there is differences of opinion on. And it's going to be a little bit hard to resolve that exactly, and it may be somewhat different for different people.
Okay. All right, so again, let's not focus on the fine details of exactly what's going on within the body, between the interaction between the subconscious and the physical. Just understand that there is a connection there, and that by understanding that connection and focusing more on the emotional and how those emotions connect to pain events throughout their life or symptoms throughout their life is often enough to kind of break through and break that
correct
that cycle of pain.
Correct.
Okay. I want to try to leave the people listening to this call with some things that they can do moving forward. So, you know, clearly on my list is, you know, go buy Dr. Sarno's book or books, Healing Back Pain, The Mind-Body Prescription. There are a couple of other doctors that speak about the same thing. You know, read as much or as little as you need to. But what else can somebody do if they're having chronic pain and feel that this might be right up their alley and they're hearing some things here that resonate with them? What other things are recommended to start actually getting out of this pain cycle?
Well, as I mentioned, one thing is taking the information from those books and the reading materials. Number two, looking very closely and carefully at your life and seeing if you can connect the dots and make those connections for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Some people find that they can do that very well with a counselor or therapist or a close friend or spouse who can, you know, openly and honestly help them begin to connect those dots.
Okay, and does that person need to know what TMS is and how it works to help them, or is it just a matter of understanding what's going on psychologically in your life?
Well, you know, the concepts we're talking about are not really that complicated. It's not, you know, we've discussed them here in this, you know, in this brief interview. The
right.
fact that mental events can cause physical symptoms, the fact that stress and emotions can cause physical symptoms, the fact that some emotions may be subconscious and you have to kind of look at what was going on to get to the root of them.
Right.
Those are all, it's not that complicated. So most people, I think, can begin to do that. Now, there are doctors and psychologists who have a specialty in TMS or mind-body syndrome.
Okay.
And you can provide them with lists of people around the country who might be, there's not that many of us, unfortunately.
Right.
But there are, you know, at least 20 or 30, I would say, who specialize in this and are more than happy to see people. A lot of times people come to see me from, you know, from out of state or,
sure,
you know, from miles away because they really want someone to help figure out, do I have TMS or do I not?
Right.
And that is such a critical question. You can't really make a ton of progress unless you figure out what's causing it in the first place. Like I said, that's good medicine. You have to get the right diagnosis. And
right.
so determining, is it mind-body syndrome? Is it TMS or not? Critical question you have to answer. Obviously, we talked about getting medical help to make sure that there's no serious physical condition going on.
Okay.
Once they've decided that they have TMS, then there's a variety of therapeutic things that people can do to help them get over it.
Okay. Now, one of the things I'll just point out for the people listening to the call, I'm going to make available a resource directory of doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists available. And Dr. Schubner, if we can maybe work together after this call to kind of compile that list. I've seen some of them, but I guess the most up-to-date one would be the best. I'll make that available as well. Dr. Schubner also has an online 4-week program where there are lots of videos, exercises, audios to listen to, and a full step-by-step process. I'll also make those resources available at the end of this call. But talk about some of the things that somebody can start doing today immediately without buying anything without signing up for anything. I know journaling is one of the things that you talk about in your in your 4-week program. What are some things that somebody can actually do something with today without investing any money or signing up for anything new?
Right. What people can do once they've read about it and they decided that this is what they have, if they whether they've consulted a physician or not, they've ruled out any serious physical cause. Most important thing they can start doing is living their life fully, starting to increase their activity, starting to talk to themselves, as you were mentioning, Dan, earlier, telling themselves they're okay, reminding themselves that they're okay, that their body is not sick, they're not damaged, that they are healthy. And as they're starting to do more and more physical activity, they continue to tell themselves that and remind themselves that, because that will decrease this vicious cycle of nerve pain, because this vicious cycle of nerve pain goes through the brain, and the brain can't affect it. There's a part of the brain called the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. And when that's activated, it deactivates the pain signals that occur in the brain. And I can show you the research on that. It's just unbelievably cool and fantastic how powerful this part of the brain is. And so by reminding yourself you're well, by talking to yourself, by increasing activity, you're doing all the things that increase that part of the brain, which diminishes pain. The other thing, of course, people can do, as you mentioned, is work on the psychological issues that they have. Journaling, writing about the stresses in their life, writing about the things that are bothering them is a great way to start. Most people also have an idea of what they need to do. What they need to do in their life to alleviate some of their stress. I had a lady recently who her sister-in-law was spreading rumors that she was having an affair with her husband, and she hadn't done anything about that. And she realized, oh my God, I've got to do something, because this is she's holding all those emotions in, all that anger, all that resentment, all that fear. And she got up the courage and she went and talked to her, and she said, look, this is not true. Why are you spreading those rumors? And her pain just started to melt away as she took the steps that she needed to do in her life to assert herself and diminish all the tremendous emotions that she'd just been holding in.
Right. So you could almost say a side benefit of, you know, going through this type of program and self-analysis is that not only are you going to regain mobility and start becoming more active physically, but you're also going to be forced to look at some things that psychologically or emotionally have been underneath the surface for a while, and actually start being able to get those things handled. This is not just only about pain relief. It's about, you know, getting your life back on track in more ways than one.
Absolutely. What I tell people in my program, you're going to accomplish three things. Number one, get rid of your pain. Number two, understand yourself better. Number three, gain mastery and control over your life, your situation, and decrease the stressful issues in your life.
Okay. Very cool. So one of the things I'll point out for those listening to the call, as I mentioned, Dr. Schubner's got his online course, and I'm going to make some information available at a certain site. I'll give you that URL in a minute, but I'm going to have some of the TMS resources, a doctor directory. As I create some of them, I'm going to create some additional, I'll say, free reports, bonus videos, and I'll also provide you information on how you can get in touch with Dr. Schubner and his program. That is actually at truthaboutbackpain.com/yourpainisreal. And that your pain is real really resonates with what Dr. Schubner was saying, that this is not imagined, this is not make-believe. You know, we know that this is a real true occurrence for you guys. I guess before we wrap up the call, is there anything else that you want to share with people who are kind of going through this, who have had pain for weeks, months, years, decades? You know, the message I have is that there is hope, there is an answer. This is not just, you know, a handful of people dealing with this. We didn't really talk too much about Dr. Sarno and his history, but he's been applying this mind-body concept since, what, the 70s?
Yeah, it's about 30-some years now. And he's a real visionary. He was a pioneer in his field. He's somebody who was so far ahead of his time that no one really kind of figured out that he was really onto something, which is why he has, you know, so relatively few people, disciples, so to speak, who are carrying on this work. What we're starting to do now is research on it. And that's another thing that's going to convince the scientific and the medical communities once we have research to show that these methods really work and work better than the modern medicine methods do for these syndromes that are mind-body syndromes.
Okay. Well, maybe one of the things you and I can do after the call is just kind of, for those people who really want to get scientific about it and very analytical about it, if they want to see if they can get their hands on some of this research that kind of proves what you were talking about makes sense. Because some people are very analytical about it and other people take things at their word. Maybe after the call you can provide me some technical resources that might be available through the internet, maybe some of these research studies that would help correlate
sure.
some of what we're talking about.
Sure. Be happy to.
Yeah, that would be great. Anything else that you want to share with people who are going through the pain process and starting to explore this mind-body connection?
I think you really hit it on the head when you said there is hope. There is hope, and that is such a critical thing because people get so discouraged, you know, after months or years or even decades of having severe pain. It affects your whole personality, who you are, how you see things. It's just such a incredibly difficult thing to go through, and at some point people begin to lose hope.
Right.
But you know what I've seen is that this model really, and it's not 100%. I can't claim that by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
but for
nobody
the majority
in
of people
can claim 100% for anything.
No, but for the majority of people, there is hope, and people can literally get better.
Wow. So there you have it. Dr. Schubner, unless you've got anything else, I'll thank you for taking your time out of your day. As far as additional resources, again, truthaboutbackpain.com/yourpainisreal, all in lowercase, all connected. Go there. I'm going to continue to update that location with additional resources and tell you how you can get in touch with Dr. Schubner if you're interested in his ongoing four-week program, if you really want to get in-depth with it and have somebody walk you step-by-step through a real treatment process. I've been through that program myself, and it's excellent, so I do recommend it. And Dr. Schubner, unless you've got anything else to add, I'd like to just say thank you, and I'll be in touch.
No, thank you for publicizing the truth, as you say, the truth about back pain. Because
so many people are misled, and,
right,
and
right.
I've got a sister-in-law who started out with some mild back pain. You know, it started to recur. She went to the doctors, and 3 months later, they're saying, "Don't use a computer. Don't talk on the phone. Don't do this. Don't do that." Totally petrifying her with fear over all these supposed degenerative problems,
mm-hmm.
and she's had no trauma. There was no specific instance. So it's almost as if, the lack of this clarity in that medical blind spot that you talked about earlier is almost reverse medicine. It's making things worse. It's
correct.
Magnifying a person's own fears and worries by actually proving that their worries are founded through these statements that you're broken, you've got all these problems, and they're always going to be there. It's
right. It's labeling people, and that clearly makes the pain worse. There is no question about that.
And at this point, she was lucky to get back to work in September when she returned to her teaching job, but she wasn't sure if she'd have to go on disability. And this was a perfectly healthy 46-year-old woman who had no trauma, no disease process.
Right.
And through this, what I'll call negative programming, she really struggling. And unfortunately, at this point, I haven't been able to get through to her yet, but I'll be sure to share this recording with her and continue to try to help her out. But, my take is if any of this sounds really far out there, number one, we're not saying you're crazy. Number two, suspend your disbelief enough to give this a shot and to start working at the things that Dr. Schubner's told us to do. And you'll probably be very pleasantly surprised at the results.
Yeah, if you look at the stories that people write me, you know, after they've been through the program, it's just amazing. And it's just amazing the stories that people have. You say, gee, you know, I was skeptical at the start, but when I saw my pain start to go away and then I saw it all go away, I was just the happiest person alive. And it's just so gratifying to be able to help people see that and help them do that for themselves.
Right. And don't just trust what Dr. Schubner and I are saying. You know, go to Amazon.com, search for healing back pain, read the 360-some-odd book reviews from people who have had no reason to write it other than to say, hey, I read this book and it really helped me out. So it's not just what I'm saying. You know, there's other proof out there in the world. So do your research, check it out, keep an open mind, and there's definitely hope.
For more information on Dr. Howard Schubner and his mind-body program, go to truthaboutbackpain.com/yourpainisreal. On this page, you will also find a quick start guide along with our resource directory of doctors and websites to help you in your journey to a pain-free life. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you soon.